Welcome into episode 97 of the Godly MN podcast. I cannot believe we are.
I cannot either.
So close to 100. So close to the
end of the year. I can't believe we've done 97 episodes,
I know,
to be honest.
We figured out. We were talking the other day about how do these guys do the podcasts that just go on and on and on. And episode 1300, and it's like, because they interview people and there's always new stuff. And we interview each other, I suppose, to a certain degree. But like, we're coming up with topics. So please send in the topics if there are things that are interested. We still have several in the tank that we have coming later. But we always want to add more. If there's something that you want us to cover at some point, let us know. I think we're going to be cruising at least through episode 100 and beyond, just with easy topics that we have. We got to sit down and come up with some more, but we would love your input on what you think might be important. But when it comes to this episode, this is something that is on guys' mind a lot, I think, the idea of love. And especially as you grow and mature, you start to think about love from multiple different perspectives, right? You're thinking about love, sexual love. Obviously, that grows as you mature and into adolescence and beyond. But then the love for your family and the love, a more mature love for your girlfriend, significant other, partner, hopefully wife, right, as you grow into that. So it's on your mind a lot. It's also one of the most important concepts for a young man to learn. It is, if you don't know how to love, if you don't know how to be loved, if you don't know how to love, that kind of is the underpinning of all of life, is the love of God and love for one another and love for family and for wife and country and all sorts of things. Love is key. And so we wanted to devote an entire episode, especially on the episode on the heels of the last one about the four must-haves for marriage. Okay, let's say you do have those things, you're pursuing it. Now we want to talk about love as a choice and not as an emotion.
Because, and I put on here the most important concepts, because if you can understand this concept of love being a choice rather than an emotion, your marriage will go a whole lot smoother. There will be things that, you know, will come up as we'll get into this episode, but like, we have to understand this as young men. I got on here. So according to the AI thing on Google, if you just type in what percentage of songs produced on the radio, streaming, whatever, in the music industry are about love, between 57% and 67%. I honestly thought it'd be higher, but you know, that seems like that is a overwhelming majority of songs.
3 out of 5 songs
are written about love in some way. And Joe, as I was thinking about it, I got to thinking, that number is not actually true. Mm. Are 57% to 67% of songs written about love? And my answer to that is no. And I sound like an old man right now, but it's not true. Most of those songs, the songs that you hear, the pop songs that are on the radio right now, even country songs, rock songs, like all these songs that are about quote-unquote love, most of them are about lust, or they're about infatuation. This just, you know, I love this person. And again, a lot of it is sexually induced, so we're talking lust here. But even if it's not talking about that, it's talking about infatuation. Yep. It's talking about, you know, when you look at somebody and all these things. And so this illustrates that we have to understand the definition of love and recognize that it's not solely an emotion. There are emotional parts of it. There are emotional components to loving somebody. But obviously our thesis for this episode is that love is a choice. Love is not just solely an emotion. And again, the music industry, as I've talked about before, the movies industry, you know, shows and things, they depict love more as a just got swept off their feet and it's an emotion and falling in love.
It's this feeling that can just
losing feelings. You'll hear a lot is kind of the reason why a boyfriend or girlfriend broke up. And it's like, we need to understand it is a choice. True love is a choice and not an emotion. And what is commonly spewed or displayed as love by Hollywood and the music industry is often not love. It's just not. It's infatuation, lust, or something of the like.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we wanted to get into is why viewing love in emotional terms is problematic. And Will has done a great job on the sound line. There are 5 keys that he came up with. I agree with every single one of these. I think this is a fantastic list as to why this is so problematic. Seriously, like, what is the big deal? Or you go, well, we know. Yes, it's a choice. Okay, we get it. Please take this seriously as we talk about why it's problematic to even think in those terms. You did a good job of saying how inundated we are, right, of showing, man, with Hollywood and with the songs and with everything that you, basically all the media you consume, social media, and they show you this on Instagram and all of those places, TikTok and such, that love is all about this emotion that is problematic. And number one, just to jump right in, emotion should never be the ultimate decision driver. Emotions are important. I'm a therapist. As I'm sure I mentioned a time or two.
Well, I've got on here, it can play a part in our decisions.
It can absolutely play a part. They are important. Emotions are incredibly important. And a lot of guys just go whoosh, and they cut off the emotion and think they're better for it. They are not better for it. There is a time and place for emotion to come out and to express emotion. You cannot be led and driven by emotion. This is where all of the, in my opinion, most, I should say, maybe not all, but most of the poor decisions that come from life are because somebody emotionally snapped a decision yep. really fast, and in their anger, they went and said something, or in their hurt, they went and destroyed somebody else's life, or in their grief, they decided to, you know, take drastic steps, or in their sadness, they self-harm and things like that. I mean, these are emotions that they need to be felt, the sadness and the grief and everything else. We cannot make those type of decisions out of an emotional place.
Yeah, I mean, even before we were going to get into this number one of the things that I wanted to say in this is viewing love in terms of emotion, it can just set you up for failure in so many ways, and it can be problematic in so many ways. And this is why I started with this one, is if you're making a lot of decisions based off of emotion, it's just, it sets you up for problems. There are things that, you know, maybe a decision is made that is a good decision that's made out of emotion. Typically, that's not the case. Typically, right. It's the opposite. I've got on here Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Which talks about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're not supposed to, this is where following your heart can come and can be a lot of issue or can create a lot of issues. Disney. We're not supposed to follow our heart. We're supposed to lead our heart. And if our heart is making all the decisions for us, this is where there's other problems that come with this. And so, yeah, emotion should never be the ultimate decision driver. Number two of why viewing love in emotional terms is problematic, it fuels a self-centered version of love. It fuels a self-centered version of love if it's all based on emotion, because it's all based on what am I feeling right now? How are my emotions affected? If you're viewing love through those terms of me, myself, I, how does it make me feel, my own personal lenses, that's a problem. That is an enormous problem. And again, you guys have heard marriage, maybe sermons or podcasts or read books or whatever, where like, I think we theoretically and conceptually know that marriage is not about viewing things through your own lens, but specifically when it comes to viewing love in emotional terms, I don't think we think about that quite as much right. of that. Emotion is almost always your own perspective. And anytime you're viewing your marriage through only your eyes and your emotions and how it makes you feel, it's just an unhealthy version of love. Again, all the songs on the radio are about your emotions, not the other person's emotions, yours. And that I see that as a big problem.
And your emotions change. They will change, and they will create a roller coaster. And what you see in marriage is where it goes wrong is when somebody does have this as an option or as their view of love, their relationship is a roller coaster because they love them today and I don't like them as much tomorrow. And then the next day they kind of go over here and then they go over here and they're really mad at them. But then they love bomb them. And stop letting the love for your significant other, if it's a spouse especially, but even for your girlfriend, whatever it may be, stop letting that be the emotional driver where, yeah, I'm all in today and super infatuated yep. and everything's about her, and then I pull back because I'm getting too close and everything else. It is very selfish. You are yo-yoing the other person. They didn't decide to get on your roller coaster of love because you're letting it go up and down with your emotions. Love is stable. Love is, you know, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 13. There is a stability to love when it is a choice rather than just an emotion. You can be, you know what? I don't like that action, and I don't like the way the person treated me, but because I love them, I'm not, you know, I'm going down into the dumps and letting them ride that roller coaster like, now I'm really mad at you. No. My love dictates that I'm going to stay with you and we're going to work through this because I choose to love you in that way. The self-centered version of love is just having the other person ride on your roller coaster because, you know, it's whatever emotional state you're in today. Like you said, how are my emotions affected? It's very important in these first two, not letting it drive your decisions and not letting it be a self-centered focus where it's all about you. Number three, though, this is a key one. It opens the door for adultery. And I don't think we have to explain all that much for you to see how that is, because what if you no longer feel love toward your spouse? If you don't feel it, if it's all in a feeling, if it's all this like infatuation and, oh man, my heart is just fluttering internally and that's great. And what happens when that's not the case?
And what happens when it's towards somebody else?
Correct. Because you walk in, you know, you and your wife have been on the ropes a little bit and things are tough and you know, sleepless nights, you just had your second kid and things are, man, now all her attention is on the kids and she's really grumpy because she got 2 hours of sleep last night. And then she's dealing with a grumpy toddler all day while she's dealing with the newborn. You come home, it's like, great, man, this stinks. And then you go to work, and the woman who doesn't have any kids, who has nothing.
Who, boy, you only see her at her best.
Correct. You only see her makeup and at her best and looking good and clothes are pressed. And it's, whew, man, she starts hitting on you. It's like, wow, that feels really good. Yeah, it feels good. Feels and is the key. We're going off of the feeling, right? It feels like, wow, she loves me and my wife doesn't. My wife never gets dressed up anymore. She's just, you know, a slob who takes care of kids all day. Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Love is the choice of like, my wife has chosen to have kids with me. She's chosen to get up in the middle of the night with our kids to help me so I can go to work the next day. Love is that choice where we say, I choose to love this woman because she's choosing to love me. And even if I'm not feeling my heart flutter the way I am when this woman compliments me, if the feeling is the key, yes, it can absolutely lead toward adultery. And even if it doesn't, it can lead toward emotional affairs or adultery in the mind where it's like you think about and fantasize about this woman. Mm-hmm. Even if it never acts out because it's like, wow, she's giving me what I want because you are focusing on the feeling and not on the action.
The only other thing I put on here is it leads you to self kind of justify it. Mm. You know, you're flirting with, maybe you're flirting a little bit. You haven't done anything, but you're flirting a little bit. And it's like, well, you know, I'm not... my feelings are leading me this way. I'm not feeling this from my wife. And so maybe you never even cross the line and commit adultery, but emotionally you do. And mentally you do. And it just, it leads to a level of self-justification that once again, your heart is leading you. Your head is not, logic is not, your heart is leading you. And that's a problem. Number four, kind of along the same lines, why viewing love in emotional terms is problematic. It leaves divorce as an option. It leaves divorce as an option. Why? Once again, if it was all about emotion and feelings, then divorce is kind of what logically follows. When you lose the emotion, when you lose the feeling, when you don't feel love, why would you not get a divorce, right? If that's all that love is.
Fallen out of love.
Fallen out of love. We're going to talk about that in a second. Of like, is that a legitimate thing about falling in love and love at first sight and all these things? Divorce is just kind of the next logical thing if you are basing everything on emotions. Right. If you're basing everything on how this person makes you feel, there are going to be days when your spouse does not make you feel a certain way. There's going to be times where you don't feel the same way you felt when you guys were dating and engaged. It leaves divorce as an option, which obviously is never a good thing.
Absolutely. I don't think I have much more to add to that. I think you stated it well. Last one, it's not the type of love that the Bible describes. When the Bible is getting into love, and it's got, there actually are different Greek words for love. There's, I'm sure we're familiar with agape, right, which is that self-sacrifice or the sacrificial love. There's phileo, Philadelphia, right? It's the city of brotherly love. So there's a brotherly love element to phileo, right, a friendship love. There's storge, which is a familial love, and then eros, which is a sexual love. And eros very much kind of captures this feeling in the moment. Whew, man, there's this infatuation and a sexual love, a sexual tension. The Bible doesn't use that. Actually, it doesn't use that Greek word. That is a Greek word that we know goes back to antiquity and in history. The Bible uses phileo and it uses agape. So it is describing a self-sacrificial love where you are willing to literally lower yourself the way that Jesus does with his disciples washing their feet. In John 13, there's a sacrifice to it, right? He sacrifices. Philippians 2, he comes down, he sacrifices everything for us. There is a love inherent in that that is sacrifice. At no point did Jesus go, boy, I really feel like dying on a cross. Matter of fact, we know the exact opposite. Yep. We know you have on here Luke 22:42, where Jesus is really wrestling with this, but he says, not my will, but your will be done.
His emotions in the moment were telling him, I don't want to do this. Yeah.
But instead of being driven by the emotion, he made the choice, I'm going to the cross because of his love for us. You also have on your 1 Corinthians 13, which I don't know if you want to
read. Yeah, I mean, obviously we know this if you're in the church at all or familiar with the Bible, you know this a lot, but I wanted to call attention to pretty much all these things are on here are not emotion-based. They're very much choice-based. Love suffers long and is kind. You got to choose to do those things. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, it's not puffed up, it doesn't behave rudely, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Like, I could keep going, but hopefully you get the point. These are choices you make. These are not, oh, my emotions are leading me to not behave rudely. No, 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 no. My emotions are leading me to, you know, not parade myself, not, you know, to be kind and to be patient. No, right. Typically no. Those are choices that you make. And so, you know, the type of love that the Bible describes is not a love that is led by emotion. Again, I want to make sure you understand emotion can play a part. It can be a part of it. It's not the main driver here. It is not everything to it.
It's kind of like, you know, love is intended to be the, and I think Jonathan Haidt goes into this with the man riding the elephant, but like, you have to be in control of these raging emotions. We get hormones, right? And that causes our emotions to go crazy. Somebody has to be driving the ship. And if you are just being driven by, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what the illustration might be, but you know, if you are letting the car drive itself for you, so to speak, rather than you being in the driver's seat, I suppose there are cars that do that now.
But that's like, kind of ironic coming from you. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are cars that do that. And it's kind of nice. But no, I mean, you can't just, in most cars, just put on autopilot and have it drive for itself. It crashes. You have to have it, right? But there needs to be a driver who's in charge who goes, no, I'm going to make the car go left, or, you know, go left, go right, whatever it is. You have to have a driver in the driver's seat who is driving this. But the emotions are the car, right? I mean, that we're going to have emotions. So anger causes us, should cause us, like Jesus, to go deal with the problem in an appropriate way. And love, this infatuation, should cause us to say, man, I do love this person. I do want to take care of this person. And that's a great feeling. We don't want to say that's a bad feeling. Infatuation is a beautiful feeling. At the same time, there has to be a driver to the car. Yeah. Otherwise, it just goes right off the rails. And so you have a very
Real fast, I was going to give a quick review, and then I'll let you read that question.
Yeah, good call.
Just
good call.
Five reasons why it's problematic to view love in these emotional terms is emotion should never be the ultimate decision driver. It fuels a self-centered version of love. It opens the door for adultery. It leaves divorce as an option, and it's not the love the Bible describes. It's funny. I was listening to Joe actually preach a wedding, and he did a great job. And he mentioned this, the idea that love is not a emotion, but it's a choice. And as I was sitting there, you know, listening to the wedding, and it was very beautiful, I was thinking, that'd make a great episode. So I grabbed my phone real fast, probably pretty rude, but I typed it out just so I wouldn't forget it.
Wow.
As I was putting the outline together, I was like, what is that? You know, I've heard that, of course, that love is not an emotion. But I remember thinking in that moment, like, why is that such a bad thing? And so these are kind of some of the things I came up with. And we probably could have put more down, but came up with five pretty easily, pretty clearly shows that it is a bad thing. But Joe, go ahead. And I had these kind of discussion questions at the end that I think is a very interesting discussion.
So we teased, we talked about falling out of love. Do you believe in falling in love? I don't know where I fall in this. I'll let you answer this, actually. Do you think that you can fall in love with somebody?
I think you can. What I disagree with is love at first sight. I think love at first sight is, you know, a Hollywood movie thing that doesn't actually happen. Like, again, that's lust at first sight, or maybe infatuation at first sight, whatever. But love at first sight, I'm not a fan of. Falling in love, I think what is typically meant by that is you become so enamored with a person, you become so attached to this person, so close with this person, and it through any number of ways that you kind of end up loving them without meaning to, if that makes sense. Like, you get to a point where you are so infatuated that you do feel a love towards them. I think we romanticize it, we Hollywoodize it quite a bit to where it's, you know, a lot of it's not legitimate, but I think you can is my answer. I was very curious as the marriage and family therapist here, what your thoughts were on it. I feel like you can, but I just feel like it's kind of over-exaggerated a lot.
The struggle I have is if I admit that you can fall in love, then I have to
admit you can fall out.
Exactly. I have to admit you can fall out. In both situations, I think you're choosing the fall, and I think they're slow. Falling in love usually is like, wow, that happened fast. I think a falling in love, if you were going to call it that, is very slow. And I think a falling out of love is very, very slow.
Well, I think you can fall out of love. I just don't think that that's a legitimate reason. I think you need to work to not.
Right. I think it's a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which is kind of the whole point of this is you're choosing the person in love, or you're choosing the person out of love, and or to kind of fall out of love. I think both of those are a choice. So the phrasing of it, I kind of struggle with, because it's like falling in love means, man, I really didn't have a choice, or didn't have an option. I just fell in love. And I think to your point,
I think I view it more of as an unexpected thing. I think you have a choice.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's the case. It's more unexpected. The more you spend time around somebody, you do see this, and this isn't just in the movies. I mean, I know people like this, that they weren't necessarily infatuated, but the more they spend time around one another, yeah, they did start to grow closer. That is the falling in love. Yes, it was a choice. It was a conscious choice. The falling out of love is, I talk about turning in and turning out. When you turn out toward other people, toward other things, to pacify and to help in times of need and everything else, instead of turning toward your spouse, I do think you eventually kind of fall out of love. So I suppose both can happen. I just don't want to take the choice out of both, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. So one of the discussions that I wanted to get into with this, kind of within this realm of discussion on falling in love, you hear the honeymoon phase thrown around quite a lot, right? First couple years, first year or two, you know, and oh man, the honeymoon phase. And we've talked about how it's kind of frustrating that older people just say, like, oh, enjoy it now, because, you know, you won't enjoy it later. Like, that's just stupid. Don't listen to older people who say that type of stuff. But I do think there is something that is somewhat legitimate to the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
In the sense of, you obviously don't have kids yet, hopefully, if you're a Christian. And so a little bit more time to yourself. Obviously, you're getting to know each other sexually when you didn't before. And so there's that excitement, and there's just your new life with your wife or with your spouse. And if you're a girl, wife to husband. And so that part is, I think, kind of inevitable. And then you also have the infatuation stage, whether that be an engagement or dating. What are your thoughts on kind of how we can get that to not... Me and my wife have a... We talk to each other a lot about the idea that we don't ever want the honeymoon phase to end.
Yeah.
And I think it's tough because there's a balance between, okay, the actual literal honeymoon phase is inevitably going to end.
Right.
Again, like we have two kids now with another one on the way, full time, work a ton, full time. Like it is not necessarily a honeymoon phase anymore. But what we mean when we say that is... We don't want to ever reach the point of like where our marriage feels stale,
yeah.
where it feels like we're just going through the motions, where like we do still light up when the other person walks in the room. Yeah. We do still really look forward
get
to time.
The butterflies we get
to,
from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess I wanted your thoughts on how do we kind of keep that going, the infatuation, the honeymoon phase, you know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this
whole thing? I think the answer's in the question. You guys talk about it a lot. I really think that's the answer. Let's keep it going. If you talk about that consistently, chances are you're going, it's kind of like, you know, the person that goes, man, am I right with God? If you're asking that question, you're probably self-aware enough to be right with God. Most of the time, you guys talking about that and saying, we want to work on this. Well, what were you doing? I have two thoughts. First off, what were you doing at the beginning?
Spending a lot of time together, talking a lot. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Everything was new. That's great. Find new things. It doesn't always have to be endless novelty. Part of the joy of marriage is it's not new anymore, and you get to enjoy each other as you know each other and in all these areas.
Develop routines and whatnot.
But yeah, getting to know the other person, always date your wife, right? Always date your spouse. Like, get to know them all the more. I'm still learning things about my wife, and it will be for the next 50 years, even though we just celebrated 8 years. It's great, but there's every single day there, it seems like there's a new way of learning how she thinks. So I think that's number one is keep doing that. Number two thing of keeping going in your marriage, now I'm blanking on, I had another thought and I'm blanking on it. So I may get your ideas on it, but yeah, I just think you asking that question of how to keep it going is kind of
this
the key
is,
to this.
I guess the way I would describe it while you're thinking is the honeymoon phase when you first get married naturally happens.
Yeah.
After a couple of years, you have to intentionally keep the honeymoon phase going. Like, it takes some effort. It takes some work. When you get home from work and you're just honestly would probably rather sit in front of a TV, you're just kind of, you know, mentally veg, that's when you say, I need to talk to my wife. I haven't talked to her all day. Yeah. I'd love to sit down and talk with her for a while and share your, you know, how your day went or whatever it is. Like, that's where the effort comes in. You kind of don't have to put in the effort early on in marriage with the honeymoon phase. It just kind of naturally happens, if that makes sense.
Did it come back to you. Don't stop dreaming. Set goals together. Dream together. The biggest issue, we've talked about it before, logistical marriages. You get these people that are just in logistical marriages. Did you pick up this from the store? Did you pick up
They talk a lot, practice? But it's all about
exactly
the
next
things,
thing. Yeah. And don't forget, we have this on Wednesday night at church. You know, okay, yeah, okay, yep, sure. And then you go to bed and you don't really talk about life. You don't talk about goals as a family. You don't talk about the exciting things that you want to do, the next vacation and the dreaming and what's retirement going to be like and what do we want for our kids. And we're going to read these books together and we're going to discuss these options and we're going to do this workout plan together and see who we can, if we can challenge each other on weight loss. And I mean, those are the things that keep it fun. They keep our feet moving a little bit. Where you have a problem with this is stagnation.
Yeah.
You don't keep your feet moving. It becomes a logistical marriage. And then the honeymoon phase is gone and you have people going, well, wait for the 7-year itch. It's like, it doesn't have to happen. If you consistently communicate about the things that matter to you and you keep that fun and that love in the marriage, and look, you'll go through some difficult things. My wife and I have been through some difficult things in our marriage. I think the top like 3 or 4 different stressors in marriage, we've hit 3 or 4 of them. With big moves across the country, losing a child at 20 weeks out of the womb or 23 weeks, like some of the things that are really difficult. We've been through those things, but you turn in toward one another instead of turn out toward each other. And those became times of great growth. And that's what spurs on more of the honeymoon and infatuation is we chose to love each other in those moments. And that makes for a really good life together.
You look for joy in the little things too. I think we have talked about this before, but like, it doesn't always have to be the great vacations and the just peak of the mountain moments. You find joy with each other in the inside jokes and the little things you do, grabbing coffee here and there, you know, on the way to church or something. Like
catching sunrises together.
Those are things that are, you know, drinking coffee together in the morning, like whatever it is. Those are things that are just so enjoyable. So that would be my answer there. The last thing I want to talk about, just a few minutes left, is talk about, Joe, what are the times when loving your wife will have to be a choice, where it's not necessarily going to come naturally, it's going to have to be a conscious choice? I've got a few things on there. I think when you are really stressed out at work and maybe money stressed and whatever, like the feeling of love is just not there because you're so busy thinking about you know, the what in your mind, you're maybe, again, it's your job or money stresses or whatever, that you're going to have to choose. Your wife might say something where you're like, why did you say that right now of all times? Choosing to show that, show your wife love, and choosing to show love to her. Obviously, during arguments, that's a big one.
Sure.
If you have a different perspective, different point of view on things, and she's just not willing to budge and you're not willing to budge, and, you know, hopefully the voices don't raise. But like in arguments, when you have every temptation to just storm out or go for a drive or whatever, no. Make the choice. Talk it out. This is a choice. My emotions are telling me to walk away right now or whatever it is. What else would you add to like just the specific times that young men need to be prepared for to choose to love their spouse?
Kids are a big one. Your wife is going to put on weight during the pregnancy, and she's going to have potentially a very difficult time getting it off after. You got to love your wife through that. If you are the guy that's like, well, my wife is smoking hot, and then that's great, and that's a big part of the love and big part of the infatuation, and then she has kids, it's like, oh, well, you know, now she's struggling with some baby weight. She's struggling with postpartum. She's struggling with her self-image, whatever. Man, you got to love her through that. Then she makes it all about the kids for a second, because obviously the newborn needs her like all the time, and so maybe she's really invested in the kids, and she hasn't asked you how your day is quite as much. Maybe the kids are ruining the house, and every single time you come home, and she's just frazzled because, man, she's been chasing rugrats around all day. You know, I love my kids to death, but we have four, and so I come home, and my wife sometimes can be a little frazzled. I've been gone all day, and she's been putting out fire after fire after fire, and it's easy to go, my wife just doesn't care about me, right? She never asks me how my day is, and she just wants to talk about her. Love your wife through that. Love your wife through the difficulties in, you know, of childbearing and the difficulties of maybe her putting all the eggs in the basket of the kid. I think kids are one of the toughest times, one of the toughest tests on marriage to see, did you love each other when times were good?
Because they demand a lot of your vacations. Attention.
Right. Or do you love her in the day to day?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, you're, like, you're
they,
all good.
They
you're
just
good.
Demand so much of your attention. I think that's what I would ultimately chalk this up to is when life is not super duper easy. Yeah. When you are dating and engaged and, again, married without kids, like, I don't mean to belittle anybody. Like, your life's not that hard. Like, maybe if some money stresses, I guess I should put that as a qualifier. But, like, other than that, like, you're just all about the other person going out and date, you know, going out to the movies and going out to eat. And we're going to sit at home and binge watch two or three episodes. And, like, there's a time and place for that within your marriage when you first.
Thanks.
But, like, that's not what life is all about. I've said before, like, the reason why vacations are so fun is because you can't go on vacation all the time, and that's what makes vacation so special. And so in the same way, like, you need to just – you're going to have to choose to love your wife whenever life is just not going as smoothly as you would like it. And that's what makes the good times so great, is because you've chosen to love her when she was deathly sick. Not literally deathly, but, like, really, really sick, and you had to carry a little bit more of the weight with the kids. Or as Joe's talking about, when the kids are, like, really inhibiting your sex life or whatever it is, like, you've chosen to love her through that. So, man, when things are great, it's even better. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. I was thinking as you were talking, and then we can wrap up.
Yeah.
Enjoy every phase. The infatuation phase at the very beginning of the relationship is a phase for a reason.
It's God, a lot of fun. Yeah.
God designed the dopamine rushes and everything else when you touch your hand. It's like, whoa, man, fireworks. That's the way it's designed. That's a really good thing. Don't push it too far. No premarital sex. Go watch our episode on that. I mean, that's important, right? Read the Bible on that before you watch our episode, I guess. But that's important not to, but enjoy that time. And then the honeymoon phase. Enjoy the honeymoon phase. Yes, try to extend it. Try to keep that love and that passion and everything alive. Enjoy the kid phase. Enjoy the pre-kid phase, right? Watching movies at night and going out on dates and going traveling. That's great. Enjoy that. And then when you have kids, enjoy that. And then when the kids are out of the house,
really
or when the kids are in school, enjoy that. And then when the kids are out and you don't have to look toward, man, when I'm 65, kids will be out of the house, I'll finally be able to do it. Enjoy every phase of life with your spouse, but that is a choice to choose to enjoy them every single day. And man, it pays dividends. Like, your life is really good. I think both of us have really good marriages. Neither of us, in my opinion, I don't know about yours as much. I think it's the exact same way. We don't argue all that much. We don't really get into all these tussles and everything else. Like, that doesn't mean that you can't love your spouse and get into those. It means the more you turn toward one another and communicate, man, the more you're in line, the less they happen. And it just creates for a really good life. And we want that for all the godly young men out there. We want that. We want their wives to be happy and fall in love and everything else. And if you can fall in love, I suppose, just don't fall out of love. Choose each other every single day.
In 10 years, Joe and I are going to write a marriage book together.
Yeah, that's what it is. Now.
It'll be mostly Joe's expertise and my random experience stuff thrown in there. But no, we enjoy doing episodes on marriage for the simple reason that we both really enjoy our marriages. We love our marriages. We love our wives. And these are things that we feel almost an obligation to try to pass on to, again, I'm 24. Like, a lot of y'all who are watching, listening are my age or maybe a little bit younger. Like, it's not like I'm 60 years old passing this down, and it's not like I have everything figured out either. Joe, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but he didn't have everything figured out either. But we really love our wives. We think our marriages are pretty great, and we want to pass that on and share that, you know, the tips, the things that we've done along the way. I put down for kind of future episodes kind of like a 10 things to not do in your marriage, and maybe 10 things to make sure that you do in your marriage. And so keep an eye out for those. We probably won't do those immediately on the heels of this one, just because we want to branch out into some other things. But yeah, if you've got marriage questions, if you've got things of like, is this good? Should we try to do this? Whatever it is, be sure and ask. If you've got a marriage specific question, we would love to address at some point. So
if we don't know the answer, we will ask people who do know
right.
the answer.
That's so, exactly right. Yeah, if you've got nothing else though, we will wrap up. This has been episode, goodness, 97, right?
97
of the Godly Amen podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll be back next week.